Well, good morning. We're in a series called Better. We're looking at scriptures that tell us not how to just have the good life, but to have the better life that God created us for. We're going to look at a lesson today that I promise you will eventually learn. You'll either learn it the easy way or you'll learn it the hard way. You can learn it now or you can learn it later when you look back over years and years with regret. And so with that foundation, I have a very important question for you. How many of you love candy? Yeah, okay. Yeah, not many people don't like it. You might wonder what this is doing here. This is one of my Christmas presents. This is an automatic candy dispenser. You know, you just put your hands under there. It automatically dispenses candy into your hands. Yeah, we have had this sitting on the kitchen counter at my house for ever since Christmas. And at first we filled it with M&Ms and then with Starburst jelly beans a couple times. And now it's got the M&M peanuts. And of course, my family is 83 pounds heavier. But unfortunately, these M&M peanuts that are in there right now, which happen to be my all-time favorite candy. You know, I love those. But they represent one of the lies that our culture tells us. For many of us, most of the people in this room, one of our biggest battles in life comes from this lie that our culture tells us. You're wondering, Ken, what is this lie you're talking about? Well, there's a TV commercial that you've probably all seen, and it perfectly demonstrates this. So let's go ahead and show that.
Who thinks more is better than less? Okay, why?
More is better than less because if stuff is not if there's more less stuff, then you might want to have some more, and your parents just don't let you because there's only a little bit.
Right.
We want more. Like, you really like it, you
right.
want more.
I follow you.
It's not complicated. More is better. And AT&T has the nation's largest 4G network.
Okay, how many of you have seen that commercial before? Yeah, you all have. Our culture teaches us from the time we are little kids that more is always what? Better. More is better. That's a lie from our culture, that more is always better than less. You know, a few of these M&M peanuts are great. Yeah, I love M&M peanuts. They're like my favorite, as I said. And so if I just like ate all of them in this entire container, that would be even better, right? No, actually, that wouldn't be even better. You know, I've actually tried that. I've tried eating, you know, a whole bag of M&M peanuts before, and you know, besides just mentioning the sugar buzz and the fact that your, you know, teeth are coated with sugar and et cetera and yucky, you know, you eat a whole bag of those and you get a stomachache. I found this out from experience. And then, you know, even like start feeling like vomiting, you know. So more is not always better with M&M peanuts. I found that out. But that's the cultural lie that we hear. More is always better. If having $1 is good, then $2 is better, right? If having one car is good, two is better. If having one house is good, you know, then a second vacation house, that's even better, right? If having one wife is good, two is not better. Don't even go there. Two is a problem. Let me tell you. King Solomon had 700 wives. When I was in seminary, another student asked our professor, you know, why did King Solomon have so many wives? The professor said, well, it's so that when he came home, he could hopefully find one in a good mood. Sorry, I am just joking. I know I just made half the room mad at me. Our culture says that more is always better. More power is better than less power. More prestige is better than less prestige. More possessions is better than less possessions. More popularity is better than less. Our culture says more is always better. In fact, if you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, you can see a form of this lie right there from the start. Having more is always better. God created everything, and he saw it was good, and then he created man. He said, oh, you know, that's good, except he's alone. And so, poof, he goes into deep sleep, takes his rib, makes Eve. Adam saw Eve and said, whoa, man. And God said, okay, we can name her that. And God said, enjoy yourself, be fruitful, multiply, eat from any tree in the garden except for just this one. Just don't eat from that one. But you know the story. Satan comes along in the form of a serpent and basically says, hey, if you eat that fruit, you will be more like God. In other words, you will have more knowledge, more power, more like God. And more is always better, right? In fact, having more will always make you more happy, right? We've been believing that lie ever since the garden. When I was a plebe at the Naval Academy, we weren't allowed to drink alcohol for the whole first year. Even though, you know, back then as 18, the drinking age was 18, at least in Maryland. They made one exception because we played the Air Force Academy in Washington, D.C., at the stadium there. And so they said, we're going to make an exception. From the end of the Air Force game until 11 p.m. when the buses are going back to the Naval Academy, everybody gets to drink, even the plebes. And so, you know, we were like, whoa, yeah, finally. And so the game ended, and a few of my friends and I walked over to a local bar that was near the stadium. And we went in there, sat down, and ordered a beer, and everybody saw us in our uniforms, right? And they started buying us pitchers of beer. And we're saying, whoa, this is so cool. You know, only time all year that we're able to drink, and we don't even have to pay for it, you know? And so we are drinking the pitchers of beer, talking about our glorious victory over the Air Force Academy, and then drinking more pitchers of beer, and they kept buying it for us. And we're saying, well, this is so cool. You know, they're buying all these pitchers for more is better, right? More beer is better than less, you know? And then all of a sudden, I had to go to the bathroom. And I got up from my chair, and all of a sudden, I realized that I couldn't walk straight. I honestly, up to this point, didn't even realize that I was getting drunk, but I couldn't walk straight. And so I sort of weaved my way over to the bathroom and got in there, and then my stomach felt kind of funny. And you've already guessed it. I got to the urinal there, and you know, not just in the urinal, but, you know, over the wall behind it, everything. I mean, I got it all. And I really don't remember very much after that, honestly. I sort of remember that another midshipman saw how bad off I was, and he managed to get me onto the bus. And then I woke up the next morning still in my uniform and had vomit all over my uniform and in my hat. And I mean, it was not a pleasant thing. And in fact, it was so not fun that is the last time in my life that I ever got drunk, you know. But that was one of my early lessons in the fact that more is not always better, even if it's free. It's not always better, you know, and that leads to our main thought for today, which is it is better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does matter. It's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. If you were here last week, you know that we're doing something different during this series. We're memorizing a verse each week. Our memory verse this week is Ecclesiastes 4:6. I'm going to read it first, and then after I read it, we're going to memorize it. Now, here's what Scripture says. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Better one handful with tranquility. That means, in other words, peace and contentment. Tranquility. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and striving and stress and chasing after more and more success, more possessions, more of something else that you think maybe will eventually get you happy, but you know, it never actually does satisfy you, and so it's like chasing the wind. Okay, you ready to say this together and learn it? It's going to be on the screen behind me. Ready? Let's say it out loud together. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Okay, now we're going to add some blanks, just like last week. So let's go to the next slide. Ready? Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Let's add some more blanks. Next slide. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Let's add some more blanks. Okay, now it's almost all blank. Ready? better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. All right, everybody's got to memorize now. Jesus talked about this all the time. Listen to what he said in Luke chapter 12. He said, beware, guard against. In other words, you know, don't ever let your guard down with this one, because this one will sneak up, it'll kick you in the tail. Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Guard against this desire for more and more and more and more and more. We're never satisfied. Why should we beware? Because life is not measured by how much you own. He says, watch out for this one. This will sneak up on you. Beware. Don't let down your guard, because more is not always better. Watch out for greed, because your life is not measured by how much you own. And then right after this, he told a story. He says, one time there's a guy who had a very successful business. In fact, the guy said, business is so good, I'm going to tear down all my barns and build bigger, better, newer ones, because I want more. And more is always better, right? And so I'm going to get my more, and then I'm going to kick back and enjoy life, play golf, party hardy, and I'll be happy. What does Jesus say to him? He says, you fool. You don't even realize that you're going to die in your sleep tonight. And then Jesus ends the story by saying in verse 21, this is how it will be with anyone, with you and me included, with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. That's what it'll be like for anyone, all of us included, anyone who just goes more, 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 chasing after the wind, but doesn't have what matters most, an intimate relationship with God. You know, I'm convinced that God really doesn't care what we have, but he does care a lot about the things we have that start to have us. In other words, they start to become our priority, they start to shape our life. God wants us to be rich in the things that really matter. And that's why it's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. Better one handful with tranquility than two with toil and chasing after the wind. So, if it is better to have what does matter, that means we need to figure out very clearly what it is that really does matter, right? I mean, that makes sense. And so right now, I want you to just take a second to think about that. Think about and write down one or two or three things that are most important to you. If you have your outline, I put some blanks in your outline you can write in, or just grab a piece of paper, doesn't matter. But think about and write down a couple things that are most important to you in this life. It should be easy, but if it is like really difficult and you say, well, yeah, I have no idea what's most important in life, well, you might think about it this way. Imagine you go to the doctor and get a bad report. The doctor says, bad news, you only have 1 month to live. You know, 30 days, that's it, sorry. What would be most important to you to do in those next 30 days? Because what's important to you in the next month is what's really important to you. So, everybody thought of at least one or two answers for that? Got something written down? The pastor of one of the biggest churches in the country actually did this as a survey on Facebook. He asked people, what's most important to you? And then he kept track of all the results. He had hundreds and hundreds of responses. He said the most common answer was, in one form or another, God is most important to me. And it came in a variety of ways, pleasing God, glorifying God, knowing God, living for God. But that was the most common answer. The second most important or most common answer was my family. And again, this came in a variety of forms, included my marriage, my children, my, you know, leaving a godly legacy, leading my children to be fully devoted followers of Christ. So basically, God and family were the top two. Other common answers when he asked what was most important to people, some people said my church, Some people said making a difference with my life. Some people said telling others about Jesus or showing others the love of Jesus. Some people said having my relatives and loved ones come to know Christ. And the list went on, many very meaningful things. But here's what was a little bit shocking. Let me tell you what was not on the list. Not one time did anyone mention the amount of money in their bank account. Is that shocking? You know, not a single person. No one put on there how much money they make per year from their job. Not a single person. Nobody put a single possession on that list. Nobody put the make and model of their car. Nobody put how large their house was. Nobody put the kind of countertops they have in their kitchen. Nobody put the kind of phone they've got. Nobody put their high score on video games or, you know, got a laugh. Somebody thought that's important. You only laugh at things that really hit home. I already know that. Nobody put the number of Facebook friends that they have or the number of Twitter followers. I mean, aren't those things shocking? It's so weird. Things that people spend so much time on trying to get, and yet they don't even show up on the list of what's most important in our lives. Isn't that weird? So what that means is we really need to figure out what is most important and then put our time and energy into going after those things, right? Doesn't that make sense? What we need to do is have less of what doesn't matter and have more of what does matter. Because better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. You know, Kathy and I were having dinner with some friends last week. And I knew from a previous conversation that he was in line or possibly was trying to get a promotion where he works, one that would be a huge promotion. He would be over several states for his area, just extremely high position in the company. And so I asked him, well, did you get it or did you hear anything? He said, no, I didn't get it. But then he said, you know, if I had gotten that promotion, it would have meant an enormous increase in my workload. I would have had to work Saturdays. He said, you know, just travel a lot more. I would have been really pretty much consumed all of my time with this job. And he said, you know, I think maybe there was a reason I didn't get it. I think maybe God had other plans for me. And this week, as I was thinking about that, I thought, you know, well, he certainly didn't use this first, but maybe what he was really hearing from God is that better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. In fact, the picture that I want to stick in your mind is what you might call one handful living. One handful living. So many of us were like grasping for everything, never content with what we have, always chasing after the wind. Better one handful with tranquility. So here's the question, how can I live a one handful life? Well, let me give you a couple ideas on what that might look like. Number one is let go of what doesn't matter. Let go of anything and everything that doesn't matter. Look at Hebrews 12:1. It says, let us throw off what? Everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Why? So that we can run the race with perseverance that's marked out for us. Let us throw off everything and anything that hinders. The Greek word that's translated as throw off can also be translated as cast down, and it implies a violent throwing down. This is not, you know, like a gentle, you know, just sort of toss on. No, this is a violent word. It's like, say you had a big hairy spider crawling up your arm. Would you see that and then, oh, okay, and gently reach over, grab it by one leg, and carefully deposit it on the... No, you would not do that. Not if you're me, at least. What I would do is I would see that and I'd go, ah, you know, and then I'd stomp it, and, you know, I would violently cast that thing down and stomp it till it's gone. You know, that's what this verse is talking about. Violently cast down, throw down everything that hinders, everything that gets in your way, from running the race that's marked out for you. You see, God does have a race that's marked out for you. He's got a track for you to run on. He's got things that he wants you to do. He's got a will and a purpose and a plan for your life. And he's put you here to do something significant, to run a race and to win that race. But you also have a spiritual enemy who does not want you to win that race. In fact, he doesn't even want you to run the race. And the quickest way for him to stop you from running that race is to get you to chase after all kinds of other things that don't matter. Chasing after the wind, toiling for things that don't really matter. And so your enemy is going to constantly be telling you, you need more. You don't have enough. You need more. More is better. Look at what that other person has. You don't have that. You need that. You know, more is better. And before long, we're chasing the wind. Hebrews says, don't let your enemy do that. Throw it down, violently cast it down. Get that hairy spider off you. Throw off anything and everything that doesn't matter. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, here's a couple ideas. Cut back and throw out. Somebody asks you after the service, hey, what'd you learn today? Did you learn anything that you can apply? You can tell them, yeah, baby, I got it. Cut back and throw out. Okay? That summarizes it all. What are we going to cut back? Well, I don't know what you need to cut back, but most people need to cut back in two areas. The first is spending. The second is their schedule. In fact, God is probably talking to you right now and showing you one of those two areas, or maybe both, spending or schedule. Let's talk about spending. Better one handful, in other words, better less stuff with tranquility and financial margin, than two handfuls with a financial noose around your neck. Better one handful with money left over at the end of the month than two handfuls with fights and worry and stress and financial fears. Better one handful with peace and joy and contentment than two handfuls with arguments about money and stacks of bills and stress. How stupid in our world that we spend money we don't have to buy things we don't need to impress people we don't even like. And then we worry about, you know, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough money, what am I going to do? And then, you know, I've already cut back my giving and I still can't pay the bills and maybe I need to work more hours, maybe I need to get a second job. Better is less with room to breathe. For some of you, it's time to cut back and to downsize, because it's better to have financial room to breathe and room to give than it is to have stuff that doesn't matter. We want more of what matters, but less of what doesn't matter. Now, the other area to cut back is schedules. For some of you, it's time to get prayerful and intentional in cutting back on society's pressure to say yes to everything. In fact, what do you think is the most common answer to the question in our culture when people say, well, you know, how are you doing? You know, what do you always hear all the time? People say, well, I'm really what? I'm really busy. Hear that all the time, right? And because I'm so busy all the time, I'm really tired. Man, got to get some coffee this morning. I'm so tired, you know, need my coffee. You know, I'm busy, busy, busy. When was the last time you came up to somebody and you asked them how they're doing and they say, you know, dude, I am relaxed. You know, I am hanging out with the kids. I've got spare time. I have time to spend with God. And my marriage is going so great. We have a date every week. You know, it's great. How often do you hear that? You don't, do you? Busy, tired, busy. In fact, next time somebody tells you that, yeah, you know, I'm really busy now, here's what I want you to do. Just smile at them and say, oh, I understand. Two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. I know, they'll look at you like you have two heads, but it'll be fun. Try it, really. You know, and then when they ask you, what are you talking about? You can say, oh, you didn't know that the Bible says better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind? It'll be fun. Try it. You see, culture has lied to us. More is better. More is better. More is better. No. More isn't always better. Sometimes less is better. It's time to say no to some things that everybody else says yes to. We talked last week about how if you want to not just have the good life, but have the better life that God has planned for us, you're going to have to say no to some good things in order to say yes to what's better. You're going to have to say no to what everybody else says yes to, so that you can say yes to what nobody else has the ability to say yes to. Just because you could do something doesn't mean you should. You have to say no to some good things in order to say yes to the best. Let us throw off everything that hinders. So we cut back on our spending and our schedules. The other area that we can do is to throw out. Some of you need to throw out a lot. You need to declutter your lives. I heard a guy say, throw away as if your life depends on it, because it does. I love that. Throw away as if your life depends on it, because it does. If you haven't worn it in a year, give it away to somebody who can use it. Get it out of your closet. Have a garage sale, and then whatever you don't sell, don't put it back in your basement. Go give it to Goodwill. Get it out of your life. You know, the more clutter you have in your house, the more clutter you have in your life. I've got one fan up here at least. You know, last year I bought a house built in 1924. This house only had one closet in the whole house. You know, and we wonder, how is that even possible? Well, it's because in 1924, they only needed one closet. Houses built today, you got to have walk-in closets. You know, some of you have walk-in closets that are so big, you could get your exercise in them, you know, four laps around it is a mile. You know, and yet, it's not enough room, is it? Even with all the closets and the cabinets and everything else, you still have too much stuff, right? So you fill up your basement with it, and then once the basement is filled up, of course, then you've got to fill up the garage, and some of your garages are filled up, and so you have to go and rent someplace to put all your stuff, right? Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Why do we do that? It's because we know stuff is good, and that means more must be even better, right? No, more is not always better. Sometimes less is better. Get rid of it. It's clogging up your life. Cut back and throw out, because better is one handful with tranquility. So first, we let go of what doesn't matter. Second, we fight for what does matter. In the book of Nehemiah, there's a story about some enemies. They're trying to hinder the people of Israel from rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Listen to what Nehemiah says to the people. He says, remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your homes. Nehemiah's like, you fight for what matters. Fight for what's really important. Pick up your sword, get out there and fight for what's right. Don't let enemies stop you. Don't let culture lie to you. Don't waste your life on what doesn't matter. Fight for what matters. Because what you want is less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. Less of what doesn't matter, more of what does. I don't know about you, but my life is too valuable. My time on earth is too short. And my God is too good to waste my life on something that doesn't matter. And I'm here to tell you this morning that your life is too valuable, your time on earth is too short, and your God is too good to waste your life on what doesn't matter. God created you and he put you here on earth to glorify him, to make a difference, to make him known, to love people and to love him. Don't spend your life chasing the wind. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Your life does not consist in the abundance of things and the busyness of life. Better one handful with tranquility. Better one handful and a good marriage. Better one handful and children that you actually know. Better one handful and making a difference with your life. Better one handful and having a great relationship with God. Better one handful and having godly influence on the people around you. Better one handful and margin in your life. Better one handful and love than two handfuls with stress and panic and greed and always wanting more and more and chasing after the wind. Because it's infinitely better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. As we close, let's all say this verse aloud one more time together. Ready? Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Let's stand for prayer. I'd like our worship band to come up for a closing song. And as they do, let's bow together. God, I want to ask right now that your Spirit would speak to us, and you'd speak to our hearts, and that we would have the courage to make difficult decisions, whether it's downsizing or cutting back on our spending or schedules, maybe getting rid of stuff, decluttering. God, whatever you're calling us to do, would you give us the courage to make significant changes? And help us to have the faith to follow what you show us. God, we pray that you'll help us to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does matter. Maybe this morning you're not sure of your relationship with Jesus Christ. You're not sure that you're a part of God's family. You can do something about that right now. Just pray along with me, something like this. God will hear you, whatever you say in your heart. Say, God, I need you. I need your forgiveness. I need your grace. I need your mercy. And so right now, I want to give my life to you. Starting today, my life is not my own. I give it to you. Please come into my life. God, please forgive me based on what Jesus did for me on the cross. Make me new. Fill the emptiness inside. Would you save me from my sins and fill me with your Spirit so that I can know you and follow you and serve you for the rest of my life? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.